6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome back to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm John.
I'm Kimmy.
This week, we are talking about Trick or Treat from 1986.
Do you feel like Gene Simmons right now talking into your microphone?
I mean, there is the urge to, I don't really like the, it's body time! Like, it's, you know that he's trying to do a Wolfman Jack thing. And in interviews, he says he's doing a Wolfman Jack thing. But he just sounds like the goofiest version of a Wolfman Jack.
All radio DJs, though, have a little bit of cringe in their canned phrases.
Yeah.
Like, there is always a touch of irony, hopefully, those weird zingers that they always do to, like, button things. Yeah. I have to say, like, I don't know why we're talking about Gene Simmons so much at the top of the show. Maybe I shouldn't have started with it, but I'm, like, mad at myself for how much I dug him in this watch.
Really?
I was like, wow, is Gene Simmons acting the shit out of this?
I don't know if he's acting the shit out
okay,
of it.
Okay, maybe he's not acting the shit out of it, but he's quite competent.
He's got four lines of dialogue.
But he's very good.
He is very good. I'll say this, though, while we're saying that, like, all radio DJs have some, like, cheese or cringe to them, the one that definitely holds up is that woman in The Warriors, right? Like, okay, boppers, it's time to, like, as I'm saying it, it sounds cheesy, but, like, she delivers it really fucking well.
And then it's totally cringe when they swipe it for John Wick 4.
Oh, God.
Because there's no irony in that. It's, they're not even like, look what we're doing tongue-in-cheek.
They're just like, we're just a little bit fresh.
We've just co-opted entirely.
Okay, so Gene Simmons is a radio DJ in a small town where this movie is set, who's going to be playing a record backwards at midnight on Halloween night as the last requests of a dead rock star.
Yeah, Sammy Kerr, who has just burned alive, much to the disappointment of his biggest fan ever, Eddie Ragman.
Right, okay. So many questions have come up already, and we're making it sound like Gene Simmons is the main character of this story. Not at all.
He appears in the beginning. He's not even in the radio station in the finale when they're playing the song.
He just sets up a tape and a timer, and he's like, I got a party to go to, which is maybe the coolest radio DJ thing he could have possibly done.
Smart thing to do.
So you're like, goddamn, Academy Award winner, Gene.
Honestly,
why do I keep saying the wrong name?
I felt like from his one and only scene in the beginning that he deserved to be in the movie much more. Like, yeah. I wanted him to be like a words of wisdom father figure for Eddie because he doesn't have one in his life. He's just got mom's boyfriend Stan.
Okay, you wanted him to be Wolfman Jack from American Graffiti.
I just wanted him in it more? I don't know.
Yeah, you just wanted more Gene Simmons.
It's so weird because like I'm not really a Gene Simmons person. I don't think he's a very great guy.
I know. Every time you see him in an interview, he thinks he's the coolest guy in the world. And you're like, you're a
so
no.
Maybe that's why I appreciate him so much in this, because I don't see his ego in it.
Okay.
For a rock star playing a cameo in a rock star movie, I was just surprised how much he was like, oh yeah, I'm a small town radio DJ. Not like, I'm a rock star playing a small town radio DJ.
Yeah, you could see.
Why are we talking about Gene Simmons so much?
I mean, the movie's littered with rock stars. It's got two. Ozzy Osbourne as a televangelist preacher who gets killed live on TV.
A lovely cameo from him. Very good.
But Gene Simmons in the beginning.
No, no more. No more. No more. Let's talk about this fucking movie. Because it is in my favorite genre of The Devil in Records.
Yeah.
Very, very small genre.
It's insane that we don't have more of these movies.
So watchable.
It's not like this was a blockbuster hit and they're like, well, it's like the jaws of backmasking. Like, we're never going to do it again this good.
I think it's a crime that this movie is not more popular.
Yeah.
An absolute crime. And maybe I'm just like bathing under this glow because we just watched like the remastered version, and holy shit, if you are a fan of this movie, you need to get the new version. Who's it by?
Synapse.
It's so good.
It looks incredible.
It's
right?
So the sound.
Yeah. So you have two options. Nobody paid us to do this. No, but when you have two options when you put it on, you can either listen to like the original 2.0 stereo channel mix, the theatrical mix essentially, or you can have this new mix they did 5.1. And I started theatrically like, oh, let's take a wander over and see what this 5.1 sounds like. It's fucking awesome.
It was so good. Good. Like, just sounds of like when the bullies push him in the pool and like the splash and the thunk when he gets pushed off his desk.
Yeah.
I physically jumped.
There were a couple sequences where we both, and we've seen this movie before, and it just got us, you know, where Sammy Kerr just like zaps into existence, and like the way that they just like take the sound out of that scene, you don't anticipate it coming. It's great. It's just small little shit, right?
Yeah, they did the audio version of what turning the contrast up does to images.
Basically, yes. Yeah.
It was so good. I really appreciated it. I might give it a full star bump just based on the quality of watching it, because we've always watched like VHS versions of that movie, which is great for this movie because it has that nostalgic like Halloween movie when you're growing up feel to it. But boy, do I appreciate it crisp.
And it also just reminds you that movies like in the 80s, B movies from the 80s, somehow still look better than, you know, $4 or $5 million movies today.
We need to go back to film. What just is exclusively.
Right?
There's going to be a weird period where we start restoring movies from like 1999. And they're not going to be as good as the ones we're restoring now from like the 70s and 80s.
Well, I know what you mean. 1999, I think we were still definitely using film. But yeah, movies like 28 Days Later. Love 28 Days Later, but it's not going to look
good. No, 28 Days Later, I think 28 Days Later will look fine.
I mean, it's
but movies like
Death on the Nile, the Kenneth Branagh.
Oh, God. I mean, that's way recent. I was trying to, what was I trying to think of? Like, Gone in 60 Seconds. Like, that is not going to get crisper.
Take that back. You take that back right now.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, Trick or Treat. When do you think the first time you saw this was? Because I've been watching this movie my entire life.
I honestly don't think I saw it until you made me watch it.
Right.
I don't even know if it was on my radar, which is maybe what makes me so mad is that I didn't get to experience this in my teenage years because this would have been so up my alley.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is a slumber party movie
but,
for sure.
But two, that I had to get like so deep in the horror community to get this.
Oh, so are you saying you're mad at us for not giving this to you sooner?
I'm mad. This should have been an easier find for me.
Why did I need to get the secret hand so late in the game?
I don't think this should be a cult following movie. I think this should be recommended with like your Christines. And,
oh yeah.
Speaking of which, my dream marathon for this movie. This is a marathon movie. It's part. It's one of four. It's this Trick or Treat.
We open with Trick or Treat.
I don't know the order yet.
Okay.
I haven't determined the order. I just know the films. So it's Trick or Treat.
Yeah.
Christine.
Mm-hmm.
The Gate.
Of course.
And Hello, Mary Lou, Prom Night 2.
I like it. Okay. Yeah, I'm happy to hear that A Nightmare on Elm Street wasn't in the mix, which I think would pair really well
with
it.
Oh, absolutely.
But that's a banger of a lineup.
Right? All of them have similarities to this movie, but they have slight differences.
With the exception of Christine, though, those are all relatively deep cuts.
They shouldn't be.
They shouldn't be. I agree.
They should not
They shouldn't be. If you live in Canada, you definitely grew up watching The Gate. That was just on TV all the time. But yeah, that's a fun mix because they're all, if they're not all heavy metal focused, they are very music forward.
And Supernatural, yep. Teenagers, high school, and then there's a little bit of extra backwards record stuff in The Gate.
Can I ask you a question about the villain in this movie?
Yes.
How do you classify him? Is he a ghost? Is he a demon? What is it?
What's
is it a curse?
What's the guy in the shocker? What do you classify him as? Evil spirit?
Fucking cool as shit.
I would say evil spirit.
Okay. But what does evil spirit mean?
Evil spirit.
So voodoo. We're talking voodoo.
He's definitely Satanism. I don't think voodoo.
Okay.
Because there's a vision that Ragman has, like when he first discovers that he can play the record backwards like a Ouija board and talk to Sammy Kerr. And we get this like shot of Sammy Kerr, which I really noticed in this version because I don't think it was, we ever
it's very
saw
dark,
it
right?
as crystal clear. Sammy Kerr is in like the attic of his house and he's surrounded by like giant pentagram and there's candles and his house is on fire and he's burning.
Oh.
And then his face is on fire, but he's like doing spells.
I thought this was the night he died.
Yeah, I think it is
he
died.
Okay,
but
yeah.
I think he's casting some like eternal life spell.
Absolutely.
Or some shit.
He's sacrificing his whole band and himself.
Did he kill his band?
I think so. At least in the vision. Like in the news report, they're not just like Sammy Kerr and band died at 28 or 38.
Seriously burned to death in attic.
But in the vision that we're seeing, yeah, absolutely. He's doing some sort of crazy Satanist shit and the whole band's going down with him.
Oh, I don't remember seeing the band. I was too focused on Sammy Kerr. He is such a like scene stealer visually.
Yeah.
You can't look at anything else.
Uh-huh.
And he knows it.
Yeah, I love the idea of him killing himself. So, like, was he always going to do this? Or was this literally just satanic payback for not letting him play at the prom?
So that's my one biggest, like, I don't know if it's a gripe or if it's question to you. Is he just really fucking petty?
Okay, so Sammy Kerr grew up in the small town that this movie takes
place.
And
he went to that high school. He went to Lakeside High.
And the whole idea was that he wanted to come back to Lakeside High to play at the Halloween dance. And the
big dreams.
The town said no. And my guess is he was always coming to carry the
I think high he was very much like Ragman in that like he was always
clearly.
He was always ragged on.
Yeah.
He was always bullied. And I think him helping Ragman get back at his bullies is what he wants to do by like playing at the school.
Yeah.
I don't know if I guess maybe it was always an evil plan, but I think initially playing at the school was just like a haha, you were wrong, I made it. Which is what most normal people would do with their revenge. They would just be like, look at me now, bitch. But he's like, look at me now with electricity. I'm going to blow up a bunch of 16-year-old kids who had nothing to do with it.
I wonder if he was going to do the same thing he did with his band, but with the school. Like he was going to perform this concert, lock the doors, burn everybody alive, and they were going to be the sacrifice that he made for his satanic whatever.
To stay in like the corporal form.
Sure. Yeah. To get some sort of eternal fame, I guess. Like,
Sammy Kerr's motivations are very flimsy and very petty. Like, one thing I was really missing here, and I love everything about this movie. I think this movie's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of weird that Sammy Kerr has no adversary. Like, he's not trying to get back at, like, the principal, who was the same principal when he was a kid. And he's the principal that said his band couldn't play. Like,
that's
he
true.
Has no adult foe. He's just going after children.
I think he wants to kill the whole town. I think that's the stretch goal, but more than anything, it's the high school is the center of it all. And
yeah.
I think as long as he can get the high school to burn, then that's enough.
I think part of the problem, too, is that the Sammy Kerr we know is talking like Ouija board style through a record. So he's limited to explaining his plan in one word answers.
Yeah. Where he's like,
kill them all, revenge.
Basically, yeah. Basically, yeah. You are the bait. The bait is
mother?
You.
Let's kill her.
It's really tough to figure out what came first because his dying wish not even dying wish, but just like his contingency plan for not being able to play the Halloween dance is setting up this record with Gene Simmons, the DJ. Like, okay, well, I can't play the dance, but you can play this record for me on the local radio station at midnight on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, based on how things go when Ragman, I hate that fucking name.
I don't like it.
It just, there's no explanation for it.
No.
You have given me more explanation for it than this movie has given me my entire
life.
Well,
he's also just like a scrappy metal kid.
You could come up with a cooler name as a scrappy metal kid.
I don't know. I picture anybody that would fit in a sleeveless shirt could be called Ragman.
Okay. Well,
and he's got a fucking vanity license plate that says Ragman. No job.
I mean, maybe he's got a paper route. Like, once this record comes
in... A paper route can get you a vanity license plate?
A paper route and a caring mother.
He does have a caring mother.
She's doing her, like, jazzercise and stuff.
I love her.
Yeah, no, she's pretty great. But so anyway, the point is...
And her Material Girl Halloween costume.
He's going to possess the town on Halloween night no matter what. Like, whether or not this kid gets his hands on the record, whether or not, you know, he strong-arms his friend into playing the Sammy Kerr.
Yeah, do you think the whole movie, Sammy Kerr, just, like, his record getting in the hands of Eddie, is just him messing around until Halloween night at midnight?
Well, I think he...
Do you think he always intended Eddie to get this record? Or Gene Simmons, the catalyst of catalysts, was like, you're his biggest fan. You should own the wax.
I don't know if he's
upset. Because if that's the case, then we're literally just in a waiting room the whole movie for chaos.
I think once he's out, he's just like, all right, cool. I mean, like, this is a little ahead of schedule, but yeah, let's fucking go. Like, I think he probably wanted to wait until Halloween night to do, like, the bigger, splashier thing. But in the meantime, let's take out just a couple bullies while we wait. Yeah. It's not like he has to gain power or anything, I don't think.
I mean, he does kind of get stronger in the end, but I think it's
But there's
just
no
because...
conversation where he's like, I need you to do this for me so I can gain power.
Yeah, I need more evil juice. Like, he's just like, okay, I'm human form now.
Yeah.
Hello, do my bidding.
Yeah, your speakers have veins.
I don't need you anymore, you little bitch.
Yeah, I run on electricity. Like, I practically feed on it.
Any objects that... It starts out where you think, like, anything with a radio or anything musical, but then
by the end, they are just smashing, like, electronic appliances in the house.
The toaster is not safe.
He's like, smash everything that's electric! Everything gets plugged in! And then there's, like, a quick little shot of a tiny little radio hiding in the bathroom, like, oh!
A battery power radio. Batteries aren't even safe.
Okay, well, if I'm doing the four movies, Maximum Overdrive has to be in the mix, right? Like, I think it totally fits emotional level.
And the evil lawnmower scene definitely
yeah,
goes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
That's kind of where the movie gets a little crazy, because I think we get too focused on, okay, Sammy Kerr is like an agent of electric chaos, and he's got this big main mission.
It looks cool, though.
I think for momentum's sake, we probably should have made the final set piece the school. I think we could have stopped there. I know there's this big radio station hubbub, but it just doesn't seem as big as when Sammy Kerr is playing for the whole school and just evaporating.
We could have had
kids.
The bigger showdown there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why not end at your biggest moment?
Yeah, well, and also, too, it's not like we're working our way to midnight the whole time through the movie. It's like they think they've killed Sammy Kerr in the school dance because they cut the power there.
Yeah.
And they've killed all of the tape. Oh, yeah, there's also tapes of Sammy Kerr going around.
Yeah, so
and,
they're trying to destroy all the
them.
Tape. Yeah.
But then they're running away, and they're like, oh, good, we destroyed all the tapes. And they're like, wait, there's another one.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a momentum killer.
a little bit. But, I mean, like, I do like the idea of him existing in all of these forms. Like, every time they try and, like, squash him, he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense that way, but you're right. Like, there's no reason that the midnight countdown couldn't have happened at the school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, why couldn't that? Maybe the radio station was playing the music for the Halloween band. Like, it wouldn't be weird for the local town radio station to be at the Halloween dance on location.
Yeah.
Playing the final Sammy Kerr song.
Oh, yeah. Literally just being the MC of the party.
Yeah.
Be like, all right, everybody, I want to give a big thanks to the Kickers for providing tonight's music. Actual name of the band that's well the fictional name of the band that's in the movie the actual name of the fictional band that's in the movie
the lead singer of that fictional band
you read this too
did the special effects for the film.
Yeah, he did the special effects for Sammy Kerr. That's so fucking cool. Yeah, there's no reason Gene Simmons or somebody else from the radio station couldn't have been like, and we've got a fun little special presentation for you, Lake Ridge's own Sammy Kerr back from the grave.
Honestly, yeah. It could have been the Halloween version of Grease when they have the dance off.
That's exactly what I'm thinking about. Instead of Sha-na-na, we have Sammy Kerr.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have
been
really
Kerr's
cool.
Makeup, by the way, fantastic.
Incredible.
Love it. And especially for like a Halloween look, because definitely some of these kids just think this is the band that the school hired.
Yeah.
And the costume is,
it's
you know,
Halloween
undead
costume,
Sammy
yeah.
Kerr. Because half his face is burnt up.
Uh-huh.
It's so good.
He sells it too. Like really well.
He
Even
does
when
this?
It's just in an attic with Ragman.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like, he sells the show. And I was like, he does sell the show.
Oh my God.
There's just one moment where he does this fancy pirouette thing off
yes.
of the drum kit.
It's kind of perfect.
It's so good.
It's amazing.
He does like a figure skating, like a...
He does a Tony Hawk 900.
It's like he does a quad jump. He was a dancer.
Was he?
Yeah.
That's not a surprise.
He was like a background dancer for Michael Jackson.
Wow.
He was on the Solid Gold Dancers.
That's pretty fucking cool. Does that mean that you have been watching Sammy Kerr since you were a kid as well?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Yeah, no, he's got the moves. He's got a lot of great stage presence, and he is not phoning this in at all. Like, every scene that he's in, even if it's just some, like, creepy, evil dialogue, fucking knocking
yeah,
it out of the park.
It's a shame that this movie didn't do better, because this is a franchisable character.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
The other thing that really makes this franchisable is that he's got a lot of power. And, like, he's got powers that you wouldn't expect to see until,
yeah.
like, Nightmare on Elm Street 5,
you're,
you know, like, deep in the franchise.
Lucky this guy is petty and only wants to go after this school, because he can pull people through televisions.
He can become a living goblin monster
oh,
who
yeah.
materializes
oh, yeah.
after coming out of headphones.
I totally forgot about that.
This man can be evil green smoke that will take your clothes off.
Inappropriately.
Yeah, it's a lot. That's so, again, I've been watching
I mean,
this
that
movie.
Scene is shot very well,
It
though.
Looks amazing.
Like, it is so good.
The thing about all these movies is you gotta just forget that they're always high school kids.
Oh, it's so inappropriate.
You're like, ah, yes, that regular college.
The quality of this film is nuts. Like,
yeah.
The quality of the special effects. Like, that monster in that scene, we never see it again.
No.
And it was like a full-out demon dog thing.
And this is the first time, again, selling the idea of picking this up and upgrading your copy to 4K. This is the first time I've ever really truly seen what it looked like. Because, yeah, I've always watched it on either television or just, like, a bootleg VHS copy. I think my parents taped this off, like, HBO or something. Like, I've always had just like a lower quality version, and I've never seen what it looked like, and I always thought that it didn't look good and they were trying to hide it because it's just kind of like a bleh, like a quick little jump scare.
Mm-hmm.
It actually looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like the gargoyle from Tales from the Dark
side.
Yes, Tales from the Dark side.
Yeah, but that's very true. It does look like that creature.
Now, like, I've always been like obsessed with music and creepy stuff growing up. And, you know, my mom was like, of my parents, my mom was the Judas Priest fan in the house. So Trick or Treat was a movie that I was allowed to watch very early on.
I am so jealous.
But they always fast forward.
We had fucking Celine Dion in my house.
I mean, my parents listened to Celine Dion, yeah.
Exclusively?
Nah, not exclusively. They were also headbanging. But yeah, like they would fast forward that scene in the car by
the rapey one?
Yeah, the rapey scene.
That's parenting.
But like as a but like our VCR, and because it's such a short scene, I could still watch it just like on fast forward. So like I could still kind of see what was happening. I'm like, what is that green smoke? What's happening in here? Oh, it's over. Okay, all right, fine. Yeah, okay, we're good. And I was a good enough kid that when they left the room, I didn't rewind it, I guess.
It is really interesting, just changing topics, because I don't want to talk about that sex scene forever.
Sure.
That this movie is called Trick or Treat. I know it had like other titles, but I think it could have dialed up the Halloween a little more.
So I had that thought while we were watching it, because outside of their house, they've got
two pumpkins. They do explode with fire a little bit. It's real great. The dance has a lot of decorations. A
lot of Halloween stuff at the dance.
Yeah. Doesn't it?
You gotta remember, this is the mid-80s. This is what Halloween looked like.
Ew.
You know?
Gross.
Like, it's not like...
Why don't they care?
They do care. It's just we have gotten so... We have OD'd on Halloween in a good way. Like, I'm not complaining about it. But Halloween just looked completely different back in the day.
Not in my house.
Okay. When were you born? After this movie came out?
Yeah.
And all of your memories are from at least a decade after this? This is what Halloween looked like in the mid-80s, Kim.
Yeah, but my house was always cool.
Okay, well, they spent their budget getting at Ozzy Osbourne and Gene Simmons, and we were better for it. They spent their budget turning an old woman into a giant pile of ash that they cleaned up with a vacuum cleaner.
I know that is absolutely your favorite moment of the entire movie.
Yeah.
Purely for, and we have to give credit to the best friend Roger. He's such a fun character. Honestly, these types of like teenagers versus evil movies, the friends are always such good characters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they don't get nearly enough screen time. Nope. Fucking Roger is like vacuuming up the
corpse, the whole corpse,
the charcoaled remains of the TV guest that Sammy Kerr pulled through, mummified at the TV.
Like, and with one of those old school vacuums too,
like those Rolly ones.
Yeah, the Rolly vacuum with the giant fabric bag where if you smacked it, you'd see dust fly out of it. Do you remember those?
Gross.
Yeah. You remember who the friend is, right?
Is he somebody?
Oh, yeah, he's somebody.
Who is he?
Yeah, so Roger in Trick or Treat is played by Glenn Morgan, who would grow up to become the director of Black Xmas 2006.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think he's also one of the writers on Final Destination. Like, it's...
Wow.
I think he came in afterward and, you know, just did some rewrites and stuff. But
well, I really like him now.
Yeah.
But he's great in this. He's such a good friend. He fucking, like, risks his life to shut off the power.
He is also responsible for a lot of deaths.
Okay, well, he was co-opted by evil.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And when Eddie asks him to go steal the tape from the bully's car, and he wears his little robber outfit, so cute.
He might as well be like dun 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 dun. Which he didn't need to do because the car was unlocked the whole time.
I love it. Oh man, this movie is so fun. It is way better than it needs to be, and like this weird period where like, these movies had budgets before. They blew up cars. They had a car on fire at the edge of a bridge. They drove a car off that bridge in the finale.
Yep. It's just little stuff.
Horror movies of this mid-budget anymore.
No.
It's insane. And they afforded two rock stars with speaking parts.
Uh-huh.
It's bonkers.
It's nuts.
It's bonkers.
Yeah, like a movies like this would just take place in the attic. It would just be the attic and
the attic and the school, and that's it.
The attic, the school, maybe you get the radio station because it's in the middle of nowhere and it's pretty easy to just like...
But you wouldn't get all those exteriors like the streets and stuff?
No.
None of that. And like in this dream scene, we go through Sammy Kerr's house and we have this whole house set with like fire on all of these elements, like on the stair railing, on the wall, on the door frames, and it's like actual real fire. Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember real fire?
Movies used to be dangerous, guys.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm being a little curmudgeon-y about the ending. I think it's just like the momentum thing.
I hear you. No, I get it. I guess because they want it to be, like, if I could assume that this is what it is, like, they really want it to be this kid versus his hero. Because, like, there is this,
which,
like,
there isn't really enough of. Like, it isn't that crushing when he realizes that everything, he's put himself so much into this band. It's so his identity.
Yeah.
And it makes him do evil things. Like, it is very moral of him, like, when the girlfriend of the bully gets put in the hospital, like, he starts grilling him, like, via record. He's just like,
well, because
what did
she's
we
totally
do to
innocent
her?
In this, right?
She was kind of a bitch. She, but
that's enough just to be like, you're weird. Like, these other guys are terrorizing him.
You are who you hang out with, John.
Okay. All right.
She was really mean to him in the pool.
Oh, she's the one that took that photo, isn't she?
Oh, is she?
I think she might be.
She deserved that ear.
That is an awful moment where he is just relentlessly bullied in school. And yeah, they shove him naked into
the girl's
locker.
The bullying is awful. The bullying is hard to watch.
Bullying was insane.
It was insane.
Bullying was domestic terrorism back in the 80s.
Even just when the bullies grabbed the fire extinguisher off the wall to spray him with it,
that was enough to get you?
No, I was just like, what of the rules? Where are the adults?
There's no decorum in these high school halls.
That the police would have the balls to touch a fire extinguisher? Like, what world was the 80s?
The 80s was wild, man.
Could you imagine somebody touching the fire extinguisher at our high school? Somebody might have, but they would have gotten expelled.
I guess. Yeah, no, I couldn't.
Like, imagine. I think we had a couple kids pull the fire alarm, but I don't remember ever seeing them again.
Oh, yeah. And then we had Utterbrot on the menu the next day. It was crazy.
Sloppy Jimbos.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we got rid of those kids. We handle our business up here in Canada. Don't you dare tuck that fire extinguisher. That is for safety.
I don't know why that really got me, but it did. I was just
I'm
like,
also very surprised
I
by this.
I was like, lawless. This school is lawless.
Okay, well, as much as the momentum gets cut in the end of the movie, if we didn't have this sequence where it's just Ragman versus Sammy Kerr, we would not see Sammy Kerr vaporize a police officer so that all that's left is his taser and his shoes smoking in the street.
I think that is my favorite scene of the movie, because we start on his boots and then the gun drops from the air and we pan up and there's no body there.
I'm going to one-up you on this. I think your actual favorite scene might be a couple seconds before this, where Sammy Kerr gets his hands stuck in the toilet.
That's my least favorite scene. That is my nightmare. Actually, I said this when we were watching
I think they start bullying Sammy Kerr here. I think this is what it comes down to.
They
gave him a swirly. And this is, like, they're giving him a little bit of the taste of, like, what made him so evil before.
I know I've talked about on this podcast how much I am a wuss and, like, I hate haunted houses.
Yeah.
I said to John when we were watching this that my nightmare haunted house would be to, like, get out of the haunted house. You have to go past Sammy Kerr with his hand in the toilet, reaching out, trying to grab you in a tiny ass bathroom.
I don't like that.
Nightmare scenario. I never had a greatest fear before right now. It's Sammy Kerr in a toilet.
The
just
greatest
the reaching.
Part,
the reaching is terrifying.
He's really going for it. Yeah. And I love that he gets his hand out, but Leslie's like, no! And then flushes it again, and that sucks his hand
sucks
back
him
down.
In. Man Good can stuff. Pull somebody out of a TV, but cannot fight a toilet.
Not at all. And he also can't fight his own fate. I don't know where I'm going. I'm
well,
just segueing
you know what,
to the
John,
end here.
He does have a weakness for water.
I guess that's true. We do.
Because he is electricity.
We explode him in water and they dump him into the river at the end of the movie. There is some good back and forth with him and Ragman, though, right? Where it's just like, you know, you think you need me, like the fan. You think this star needs a fan, but like, or the other way around. You think the fans need you, but you need us, right? And like, that's kind of what calls him back. Like, you're nothing without me. There's also a great line when he first meets Sammy Kerr and he's like, you should never meet your heroes.
Why is this Batman?
What is he? Shut up.
You're not the hero that Gotham needs. But I am going to blow up that whole school.
You took the wind out of my sails on this one.
That is a really great line that star of the movie, Gene Simmons, says at the beginning, where he's just like, you know, like, he's not that great of a guy. He's got a chip on his
shoulder.
Like,
well, yeah,
he's
like, you
a
didn't
bad
know him.
Dude.
He was angry back yeah. when he was in high school, yeah.
Which I think is a really interesting underscore to this movie is that, like, Sammy Kerr is not a good guy.
Yeah.
And Eddie is a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to kill people.
No, and like they both have the same high school experience, basically.
Yeah.
But like ultimately, he's not an evil person.
Yeah, like he's got his ultimate bully pinned in some weird mechanic room machine.
So, imminent death coming.
Yes, and he stops it. I mean, he really considers it.
You
but
know,
like,
I think he's just making him wait as long as he possibly can.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I
yeah.
really want you to think that this is the end.
But he has access to a lot of power via Sammy Kerr. Mm-hmm. Because as long as he never bit back at Sammy Kerr, they would have been buds for a while.
Oh, yeah. Could you imagine the two of them just becoming like a superhero team where they just fight bullies from town to town?
I don't know if fight bullies is the word. Maybe like mass murder people that
oh,
are...
I'm imagining it never really got beyond the... Like, he's like...
The bad people? Vigilante justice?
No, just like nobody ever died, you know? Like, like in the beginning of the movie. Like, they're more of a like a spawn... What's that guy's name? Venom. Like, it's more like a Venom relationship where they're kind of just like punking people. Like, he's always like, hey, maybe we could kill him this time. You're like, nah, I think maybe we'll just scare them. How about that? Okay, fine.
Yeah, because the movie isn't that lethal until Sammy Kerr gets out.
Yeah.
Like,
and then he's just
well,
blowing
he does,
people up with guitars,
he
man.
He does give Ozzy Osbourne, like, an aneurysm pretty early on, but...
That guy had it coming.
But it isn't until he's, like, at the dance and he's just, like, pointing his guitar at kids and they just disappear.
Incredible.
Then you're like, I don't think this guy's got... great motivation.
Turned Humpty Dumpty into dust. So many people getting exploded in this movie. God, it's good. Could have ended at that prom though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even for that, sound bump, quality bump, fucking Sammy Kerr bump, 4 out of 4.
Yeah, yeah, 4 out of 4. God, this is a good movie. And believe it or not, it's got some connective tissue. This is one of your last hints of what this batch of episodes has been on the Nightmare on Film Street podcast. Check out the link in the episode description. Submit your prediction for your chance to win a Nightmare on Film Street prize pack.
If you want even more Nightmare on Film Street and can't wait until next week, join us in the Fiend Club over on Patreon at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub. There's tons of bonus episodes there. You'll get exclusive access to a private channel in our Discord and tons of other cool stuff. So check that out at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub.
We'll be back again soon, but until then, I'm John.
I'm Kimmy.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.